Good morning. I want to thank the Lord for being here this morning and privilege of being in His house and listening to the good songs and for all the Lord has done for us. I want to write a word on the board. I'd like to consider the word prophet this morning. There's a lot in the scriptures about it. I appreciate your prayers. The Lord will help me to get it out like He's given it to me. And my prayer is that every one of us will benefit by this, that the message itself will be profitable. There's a lot in the scriptures about prophet. There are analogies drawn from the kingdom of heaven and the whole system of the gospel that Jesus likens to a business. We have the parable of the talents, and we'll talk about that a little. But I'm going to go read a few verses in 1 Timothy and in Titus. We'll consider those briefly. These are some scriptures that talk about prophet. And it helps us to know that things that are profitable are very important to God. That He wants what we do and He wants how we live for there to be a prophet turned and the right type. Because we can turn a prophet, but it's not the type the Lord's looking for. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. But in 1 Timothy 4 and 6, if you have your Bible, turn there with me and we'll read a few verses here. It says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Paul was speaking these words to Timothy, who was a young minister. But we can all get some good from these verses. It's not just to the ministry. He said, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." If you go down to the 15th verse, it says, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." We already heard this morning about how our life is not supposed to be like the Dead Sea, where water flows in, but it really doesn't flow out. We have the Scripture wants to pour water. The Scripture says that Jesus wants to pour the living water into our lives in such a way where we don't just absorb it and there's not just enough for us to just barely survive. There's not even just enough for us to thrive. But there's enough for us to thrive and then for that same water, that same stream, to keep right on moving and go and really water a whole lot more people. It's not our stream. It's what comes from Jesus. And that's what Paul was saying here. Thy profiting may appear to all, that everybody will know that you've been with Jesus and that they can be with Jesus too by the things that you bring forth in your ministry. Do you know that every one of you have a ministry this morning? You might not stand in a pulpit and you might not go to India, but every one of you have something to impart to those around you. You have a circle of influence, a sphere, and there are people that you can touch in a way that nobody else can. And there are gifts that God has given you that He did not give everyone else, and maybe in your congregation or your locale did not give to anyone else. And that's why Paul said, when one member suffers, we all suffer, because there is a loss of profit in God's economy. I want to also read a scripture in Titus 3 and 8. It says, I'll just read it real quick. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. I remember hearing a story that my dad told one time, I've heard it several times, about a man on a plane that he overheard, and one man said to another man, "I think I'm going to go into the ministry. I've heard it's a really profitable business." Well, it can be that. There's a man that I was reading about just recently that went into the ministry, and he's worth $670 million because of that. I don't think it's exclusively because of that. He bought a piece of property. It's got gas wells. He has different ventures. He has 5 private jets. And we can go into anything like that with an eye on a certain kind of profit, and we might be successful in that. But that's not the kind of profit that I'm talking about. And if we set our heart on that kind of profit, then we're not going to really be profitable for anything that will endure. Paul said that every man's work is going to be tried to see of what sort it is. And the things that are profitable to the kingdom of God are the things that are going to stand and endure. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And so we understand that there are things that people can do and spend their time doing and give their life to and put their effort toward that was very profitable in some ways. But the trick in life here is to find out what's really profitable. What's profitable? What can I do in life? There are too many scriptures for me to ignore the concept that God wants us to turn a profit in our lives. We need to turn a profit. I'm going to write a list. Well, I don't want to write it quite yet. I'm going to write a list on the board in a little bit. I want to read a couple more scriptures. If you turn to 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Not sure why this is, but most of the scriptures that mention being profitable and the ones that I've drawn for this message are from 1 and 2 Timothy. I'm not sure why he talked to Timothy in this way, but I'm sure that the Lord guided his mind to say the things that would be the most profitable for Timothy and for the work there. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, I just want to make a passing few comments about scripture. It's unique in that there is no other writing that is not, there is no other writing or set of writings that can make this claim. I don't have, I could write a paper of how I believe about something. Somebody could ask me to write a paper about something. We could ask a group of ministers who we have confidence in to make a statement of faith about something. And you know that there would probably be something in there that wasn't perfectly balanced and that maybe really wasn't good, maybe good for a specific time, but you know, this is one reason why we don't have a hierarchy, and we don't have an apostle here and then we have people here, because any set of concrete rules we make and say, if you do these things, you're a member of the church of God. We don't do it like that because we'd get it wrong. We would get it wrong no matter how we tried to do it. Might get some things right, but the Lord intended for us, each one of us, to have a personal connection with Him and teach us gradually, little by little, the deep things of His Word, and to be convinced in our own mind, in our own heart, this is what the Lord wants me to do. The Lord does not want us collected. He talks about the kingdom of God being a profitable venture in a way. But we are not going to be judged or we're not going to be judged according to the collective profit of the church. We're going to be judged individually. We're going to be examined, and our lives are going to be examined individually. I want to talk just a little bit. I want to talk more about that, but I want to hold that thought and talk about Scripture. All Scripture is profitable. Everything in there, when you read a Scripture that maybe doesn't make sense to you, it's profitable for something. There's no other writing that can make that claim. You read writings of people that were back in the same time that the Bible was written, you're going to find false ideas about science. You're going to find false ideas about human nature. But the Bible's not like that. Everything that was written in the Bible lines up exactly with any truth that has ever been discovered since then, even though those things were not known to the people that wrote them. And it's because it was divinely inspired. And it says that it's profitable for everything. And that lets me know that since every word of Scripture is profitable, God really wants the things that we do and the lives that we live to turn a profit also. That it not be vain. Paul talked about his ministry, and he said, I don't operate as one that beats the air. Everything that I do has a reason and a purpose to it. That's why you're not going to find, there aren't scriptures. You want to know what God's favorite color is? There's not a scripture for it. You know why? Because it's not applicable to any. I don't care what God's favorite color is. It doesn't matter. Nobody knows. It's not something that's applicable. But I can guarantee you that every word you read in Scripture is applicable at some situation in life for something. It's applicable today. It was written all the way from 4,000 years ago to a little under 2,000 years ago. And those words are still applicable to us in 2022 in America and in every other country in the world. And they will be applicable to the next generation. And for as long as time lasts, those words will be profitable for instruction, for reproof, all the list that it gave. Now I want to talk a little bit about the parable of the talents. Matthew. In Matthew 25, I really don't want to read the whole story. I'll paraphrase it. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man that went to a far country. And he called his servants. And this parable is in Matthew, and I believe it's also in Luke, maybe. And it's told a little bit differently in Luke. But the one I'm thinking of is where it said that he gave to one servant 5 talents. Gave to the next servant 2 talents. Talents were large units of money. Many thousands of dollars. Each talent was worth many thousands of dollars according to what we've been able to figure out. He gave one person 5 talents, he gave another 2, and the last servant he gave 1. And it said he gave them according to what they were able to handle. And then he left, and when it came time for him to have a day of reckoning with his servants, he came back and he said, "What have you all done with them? Let me see." And the man that had 5 brought forth 5 more. He had 10 talents. And he got a reward. And the one that had 2 had the same kind of reward because he brought back 2. They both doubled what they had. They had the same kind of profit. There are some people that can't handle this kind of gift. And there are some people over here that maybe can handle more or different or however you want to put it. If you want to say some people have more gifts than others, I don't know about all that. The Lord says that He divides to every man severally as He will. And the Lord does that for every one of us. But the point is that those servants all turned to profit except the last one. That last one, you know what he could have done? He could have said, all right, guys, let's just, maybe he... If he would have got cold feet at the end and thought, you know, I probably should have done something with this instead of digging a hole in the ground and burying it, I probably should have at least taken it to the bank, which is exactly what the Lord said to him. What if he would have said, you know, all right, how many you got? You got 10, right? And you started with 5. All right. So we started collectively with 8 talents, 5, 2, and 1. And now collectively we have 15 talents. That's nearly double. It's just one less than double. Let's go present these to Jesus or to the Lord, to the Master in a group. It doesn't work that way. Each one of us, the Lord's going to ask us, what did you do? What did you do that was profitable for my kingdom? Did you just go, I'm present, I was there. I attended church. I was faithful. I did all that stuff. No, what did you do personally? That's the question the Lord is going to ask each one of us. How we turned a profit for His kingdom. The Lord gives us the gifts. He gives us the opportunities. He gives us the time and the circumstances. And it is up to us to take those things and be as profitable as we can possibly be with them. Sometimes we will be called to do things that don't look like it's profitable to anyone else. I know, I've mentioned this before. I know someone that was in high school and the Lord called him. He was very good in baseball, extremely good. Could have gone very far. I don't know how far he could have gone. Could have gone possibly to the major leagues. And God called him and said, I don't want you to do that. I want you to work for me instead in a different way. And he left that all behind. No doubt looked to some people like it would be a tremendous waste of his life. And he became a minister and has ministered for the Lord ever since. He could be making, probably be too old to be in that career now, but he could have made millions of dollars a year. He could have turned a big profit in money. But I'm thinking of the profit that's been gained. I can tell you, I know this person. I've profited by the things the Lord's given him that I've listened to. Profited tremendously. And we don't know where the Lord is going to find ways for us to profit for His kingdom. I'm thinking of another story that's kind of on the other side of the coin. That's in Matthew, the 26th chapter. There was a woman. Matthew 26 and 6, it says, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. And so sometimes I believe the Lord is going to impress upon our hearts to do things that don't really look like profit to anyone else, but the Lord sees it. And all we need to do is just keep right on, not saying that we should not take advice and counsel from those older and wiser than us. But many times in life, you're going to have to keep right on doing the things that the Lord has showed you in your private times with Him. Nobody else comes into those private times and say, this is what I do because I believe this is what the Lord's going to be pleased with, and this is what I'm going to do until the Lord shows me differently. And that's what she did. She kind of looked foolish. And maybe even you could make the case that doesn't say here that the Lord even told her to do it. But she did what it was in her mind and her heart. She said, this will be good for the Lord. She wasn't thinking about herself. She wasn't thinking about... She had the ointment. She could have sold it. She could have given it to the poor. Or she could have kept it all for herself. Or done some sort of a combination of the two. But she said, this is the way. This is what's going to please the Lord. And you know, really, you and I, if we serve the Lord in that fashion, we may do some things in life that the Lord maybe wouldn't have required or even inspired us to do. But if we give our whole heart to the Lord and we serve Him in the very best way that we know how, that in itself will be a profitable thing to the Lord, because that's really what He wants in life. He wants our heart. Doesn't really want a group of people that are all following a set of standards and all doing the same thing because somebody back here decided that would be the best thing to do. He wants people whose hearts and lives are completely given to Him and His work, and doesn't mean that everybody's always going to do exactly what's the most profitable. And sure, we need to be led of the Lord, but really what He wants is our heart. Give Him our heart and He can lead us then. It's so easy to be led when our whole heart is given to the Lord. I was thinking, Brother Danny Adams preached a message at Guthrie, Oklahoma this Christmas, and he wrote a list on the board. I'm going to write a list very similar. And if you were there and heard this message, you might think that I'm going to preach the same thing, but I'm going to go in a little bit different direction. If you have a profitable business, there are elements that need to be there to be successful and to be profitable. I have a business, and I'll just tell you right now, I don't go to my work and operate in my business because it's a hobby, or because I want to exercise, or because I will need to get out of the house. I do it in the hopes of getting money. That's why I do it. And I do it in the hopes of having a return, a profit. It's not enough for me. I know some people, I have multiple family members that are artists and all that, and they'll do something and they might not make very good money at it, and they look back and say, boy, I'm sure glad I did that. And I've been helped in those situations where we didn't turn a very good profit and looked and said, well, I am not glad I did it because I didn't take home a very big check. Obviously, I want to serve the Lord, and my business to me is a combination of serving the Lord and turning a financial profit for my family. But I believe that I could, I'll do anything to serve the Lord. So I'm not saying that I go out to my place of work with no thought of serving the Lord. I do. But in my business, I go to my place of work and I have studied the things I've studied in order to turn a profit so that I can provide for my family. That's why I do it. And there are elements in a business that you really need to have to be successful. I'm going to write down some of them here. Vision, education, investments. I'm probably not going to write an all-inclusive... Wait a minute. Writing the wrong word down here. Investments. Dedication. Discipline. Those two are similar, but they're not exactly the same. Ambition. Balance, a good balance of work and rest. A good supply of capital. supplies. That's kind of the same thing, but not really. Maintenance. Yes. Forgetting how to spell. Good morale. Steadiness. Those are all things that really, if you're operating a business and you only have a little bit of each one of them, there's room to grow. You can start out and not really be good at any one of those. But if you can develop each one as you go along, your business will be more and more profitable. That's kind of how it is in the kingdom of God for us and in our lives. The Lord starts us out with not much of any of those. But if we go through our business, and if I was to run a business for 20 years, and I was completely missing one of those, or more, and I completely missed it the whole way through, or if I had it at one time and then quit, my business would seriously suffer, maybe go bankrupt. Most people, I would say that just about everybody that goes bankrupt in a business, it's going to be because of the loss of one of the things on that list. And I think there you can probably think of some other things on the list too. And as I mentioned, Brother Danny Adams preached a message at Guthrie, Oklahoma. And he had, my list looks similar to his. His message was more concerning the group, the body. And my message this morning that I believe the Lord gave me is more concerning us as individuals and the things and the elements that we have in our individual lives. If you go to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to heal, a kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Not going to read all these here, but the point is that everything, it says that there is a time and a purpose for everything under the heaven. That doesn't mean that there's a time that there's an evil purpose I have in my heart that God will, that there's a necessary time that God will give me. But for everything that is in God's kingdom, there's a time to do that. You can't do everything all at once. And you can't perform all elements of a business all at once. Some things are very inappropriate to do at certain times. I think of the scripture that says, it's in Proverbs 25, we won't turn there, but it says, as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. I can go to somebody, I can walk in a place where they're mourning for someone or something like that, and I can say, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We need to sing number 70, there is joy in the Lord. Wouldn't go over very well. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have times of gladness and all that, but there is a time for every single purpose, and you know that every purpose has a way for there to be a profit to our souls. Jesus, or Ecclesiastes also, in the 7th chapter, it says that sorrow is better than laughter, for by sorrow of the heart, the heart's made better. It's not saying that we should go around all long face, but it's saying that there's a time in our life where we need to come and say, I need to reflect on who I am. I don't like who I am. I'm going to ask God to help me and to be better. And the Lord brings things into our lives, and there is a time when He does. There's a time to look inwardly, look at ourselves and say, how can I use this to my profit and to the Lord's profit? I think about the first item on this list is vision. Maybe the first two items, vision and education. There are people that are very visionary. and people not so visionary. And if you talk about the group and how we can all profit as a group, there are going to be some people that are very visionary and some people that aren't. I'm not an extremely visionary person myself. But we all need to have an element of this in order to be profitable to the Lord in our personal lives. The unprofitable servant of whom we spoke a while ago in Matthew 25, this was one of his problems. He didn't have any kind of a vision. John, in 1 John, it says that we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That needs to be the motivation of everything we do. We need to have a vision. You know that it's not enough for us to... We can't continue to be profitable our whole lives if the reason that we're doing everything is, if I don't do this, 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 and this, I'm going to go to hell. And if I do this, 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 and this, I'm going to go to hell. And everything that I do, I'm living because I'm afraid of going to hell. This man that was in the parable didn't really have any kind of a vision that my master will be happy if I do this. My master has maybe a reward for me if I do this. My master's been kind to me in the past, and I really, what can I do? There's a person in Psalms in 116 that said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me?" This is how I want to live. My whole life is before me. I can live it any way I want to, but I want to do the things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight, because that's the things that's going to be the most profitable in my life in for the Lord, for his kingdom. If we go through life and we don't have a vision of how the Lord wants us to live, and we just do things from a motivation of fear, we're going to not be profitable, neither in our own personal lives. We're really not going to have anything to impart to anyone else. If we can have a vision of how the Lord wants us to live and conduct ourselves, then we can be very profitable for his kingdom. We're going to have to spend some time learning some things. I think about what I wrote here, investments. And I don't want to take too long. I want to wrap this up if I can, but I want to just skim these real quick. We won't turn to it, but Proverbs 24 and 13 says, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." In Ecclesiastes 5 and 12, it says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich." The first part of the verse is really one that I wanted to get. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And these kind of bleed into one or more than one of these categories. But you know that we can, in a business, we can go and we can just work all the time. And we can say, if I don't work, I'm not making money. So I've got to work all the time. And there's 24 hours in a day. If I make so much per hour, boy, look at all I can make in a year. There are things that we need to stop where we are not actively on the job, and we need to invest in them. And I wrote a balance of work and rest. You know that the rest part of that's an investment, because it guarantees that I'm going to be rested up and available and optimal in my work in the future. If I go and I try to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there are things that are going to be lost, and my profit's going to go way down, because you know that sometimes I feel like we can work for the Lord like that. The people, there was a congregation in Revelation, the third chapter, that he told them, he said, "I know thy works." It's the Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, the second chapter of Revelation. He said, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. These people had just been all zealous and they were ready to cut off any hint of false doctrine that they detected. They were ready to be militant for the work of the Lord. They were hard workers. They were ready to charge, go forth to the battle, take care of anything that needed to be done. But in all that, do you know there was a purpose to the good things, the feasts and all that? The Lord said, I want you to have a feast where you enjoy coming together and you eat and you enjoy the good things. The Lord's going to bless you. I don't want you to give all that away. I want you to enjoy some of it so that your heart will bless the Lord. When you're eating and you're full, don't just look upon it and say, my might, my hand, my power has gotten me this. I want you to stop and reflect on how the Lord's blessed you. These people in Revelation were so busy taking care of all the problems and fixing the things that were broken and being militant for the work of the Lord, that they didn't really have anything to impart anymore. The Lord wants us to be able to speak to other people and say, this is what the Lord has done for me. Not someday in my past, but not just someday in my past, but the Lord gives me peace and I have this. And I'm not all run ragged and I'm not all dragged down because I'm working for the Lord, but the Lord comes and He restores my soul. He gives me this, but you know we have to take time for that kind of thing. We can't go out and I can't drive my van forever without filling up with gas. You and I cannot go and just work for the Lord without stopping and taking some time to eat the honey, to eat the wisdom, to find the knowledge of God, to get along with the Lord, and to get those blessings that are rich to our soul, because those things are really what propel us. It's the rest that we get that propels us to be able to do the work that we do. It's the honey, the good things that we eat, that propel us to be able to turn a profit, to impart to people. This is how good the Lord is. We don't just want to go to other people and say, you ready to meet the Lord? You're going to go to hell if you don't straighten up. No, the Lord wants us to have something better to take to people, where we say, the Lord wants to help you in this. The Lord wants to deliver you. I used to do this and this and this. I don't do those things anymore. It's nothing because of what I've done, but it's because of what the Lord has delivered me from. I used to have a problem with this, and I used to be angry, and I used to be bitter, and you know, I see that you're struggling with some of that. Sometimes we have to get a good relationship with people before we point out those things, but when we get in those places, we can take something to them. Those people in Revelation, they couldn't do that because they were so busy, they had left the whole motivation behind, and they just worked all the time trying to turn. You can't do that in a business, and you can't do that for the Lord either. It says, eat thou honey because it is good. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. You know, in the very next chapter, it says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled with and vomit it. Lord, help us to be able to be balanced in the things that we do. You know, we can sit around the fire, so to speak, all the time and just pass around all the blessings. Oh, this is what the Lord showed me. This is what the Lord showed me. No, there's a time to eat the honey. There's a time to get the wisdom. There's a time to have the knowledge. There's a time to get the rest. The very man that wrote, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. It's the gift of God. It's something that you're supposed to have. That very same man, by the inspiring of the Spirit of God, he wrote, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. There's a balance. There's a time for everything. There's a time to get good rest, both physically and spiritually. There's a time to eat the honey, both physically and spiritually. There was a man in the Bible that Jesus talked about in the book of Luke that didn't get that balance. It says in Luke 12 and 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Who do you think gave him the bounty? The Lord multiplied. The Lord could have put holes in his bag of income that he had. The Lord talks about that in the book of Haggai. The Lord blessed this man. He was rich and had overflowing because of what the Lord had done for him. And he said, I'm going to be even more profitable still, and I'm going to use all this for myself. He said, this will I do. I don't have, what am I going to do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. It's an honest assessment. I don't have any problem with that. Then he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I'm going to build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I don't even have a problem with that necessarily. Except that maybe he wouldn't have had to build such a big barn if he would have given it some of it away. But maybe the Lord, I don't know what the Lord planned. What I do know is that he didn't consult the Lord about what to do with it. You know, the Lord, I don't believe for a minute that the Lord would have said, I want you to give it all away. Sometimes the Lord calls us to do that kind of thing. But the Lord does not call us to live a life where we are not filled in a certain way ourselves. I'm not saying that the Lord wants to make everyone rich and prosperous and all that, but the Lord knows what to give you so that you will say, bless the Lord. What can I do to serve the Lord? The Lord knows how to do that to everyone. He's done it to me. I've lived on both sides of the fence. I know what it's like to be carrying around a bag full of holes because you're not giving everything to the Lord. I know very well what that's like. It's not any fun. This rich man said, I'm going to bestow all my fruits and my goods and my bigger barns. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, thou fool. Remember what Deuteronomy 8 and 10, what it says, when thou art eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. This man wanted a prophet, but he wanted to absorb it all. The Lord wants us to ask the question continually, what can I do to make a profit for the Lord's kingdom? Lord, I made this much this year. What do you want me to do with it? Lord, I have these people that have come into my life. What do you want me to do with them? Lord, how am I? What I'm doing over here, is this profitable? Is there something I can do that can be more profitable? Lord, help us to have a balance where we recognize the importance of all the different elements of a profitable business and apply it in a spiritual way. You can't work all the time. You can't rest all the time. You can't study all the time. You can't missionary all the time. Everything has a time and a place. You've got to be filled up in your soul. You've got to be hardworking and industrious in the things of God. You can't come and just expect to ride on the coattails of everyone else that's spiritual in the congregation and expect the Lord to judge you according to the congregational average, if I may have the liberty to put it that way. It didn't get the man with the talent. It didn't get him anywhere. And so I've got other things. It's getting late. I wish I could talk about more of this, but I think you can take every one of these. Discipline and dedication. I want to mention one more because the Lord gave me this thought about it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 20, I want to consider these three right here. Dedication, discipline, and ambition. Paul didn't just have a vision and think about it and dream and plan. That's all some people have. They just kind of dream. But Paul took these things and he said, unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. In the 22nd verse, it says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And in the 25th verse, it says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Same principle here. You have something temporal? Well, this is the thing. These are the things that people do so that they can succeed. In the Olympics, in a business, or in anything else, why would we think that we don't have to apply those same principles to serving the Lord and to profiting in His kingdom? He said, these are the things I adapt. You know how easy it is for us to kind of get on autopilot as a Christian and just kind of just roll with it and we just come to church and we do this? Paul had an active mission here where he would look and he's like, all right, who am I dealing with? And where are they coming from? Well, they're coming from this way over here, so this is how I'm going to act. He adapted everything to be as profitable as he possibly could. He said that I might by all means save some. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And then here's another factor. I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. Not only do I not live on autopilot for everyone else's sake, but I don't do it for my own sake. Times and places and circumstances change in your life, and you have situations that you never dealt with before. You can't expect the same things that you did back here to work now. You've got to dig. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to seek the Lord and say, Lord, haven't ever dealt with this before. I don't want to be capsized. Don't want to be a castaway. That's what Paul said. Thus, but by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Paul was willing to have ambition and discipline and dedication to the work where he was very profitable, I believe, to the Lord and his kingdom. And I just want to give us those thoughts today that we can be challenged and stirred to be as profitable as we can be. We can work at about a third profit level, but you know, I don't really know. I'm not God. But if we get to the end and we came up with 1.1 talents and we very easily could have come up with 2, it doesn't seem like to me that the Lord takes a real good view of that. The reason that he told that man, why didn't you put it in the bank, was because he was judging that man out of his own mouth. That's what he could have done. He could have put it in the bank with the level of understanding that he had about the situation. He was still responsible enough to do that. The Lord said, I wouldn't have held you responsible for 2 talents if that's all the understanding you had. There are some people that have a warped view of who the Lord is and how to serve him, and that's because of the things that have happened in their lives. The Lord holds us responsible for what we know. But if the man would have told the Lord, well, I didn't feel like doing anything. And the Lord would have said, if you would have worked hard like your heart pricked you to do, you could have brought home 2 talents. What he told the man was that out of your own mouth I'll judge you. This is the understanding you had. And so I would have been satisfied if you would have just gotten interest at the bank. That's all you had. It's all the understanding that you had. And sometimes that's all the understanding we have. We can gain more understanding, and the Lord wants us to do that. But the point that I want to bring to us this morning is that we all have a certain level of potential viability to make a profit for the Lord. And I would encourage each one of us to do that this morning. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.